All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hello, Canucks fans. It's game day. It's the first game day of the second round for your Vancouver Canucks, and we are fired up about it. We're going to have a great episode today. This is Canucks Conversation, and it is brought to you, as always, by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love, and even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps. The BZ4X will get you through it. All folks, we heard you. I heard you. New background. I got a new background. For those in the YouTube live show, you've been saying it forever. You want more back there. I got some stuff. We got the Stanchy's Reader logo up there. That was an exclusive collection at Canucks Army. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm liking this. Got the Canucks Army logo. And then, I don't know, that looks like False Creek to me. We got sent these. Shout out to Maddie. Maddie over at the Nation Network. She sent us some frames. Harmon forgot his at the studio, but he's going to have some too. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good to get these backgrounds up.
It just makes my background look that much more bare. Like before it was passable because you only had a couple things. And now mine just looks extra bare. And I feel that much worse about forgetting the frames at the studio.
If the Canucks win this round, I'm going to get a screenshot of the time you were in Nashville and we did the show when it got darker.
Oh,
famous
God.
Episode. I'm gonna get the light version and the dark version, like the one that, of the start of the show and the end of the show, where it's like you're in the light and then you're in the dark. Put them together and put it on a big poster, and we'll make that your background if the Canucks win this series. That's what we'll do for next year.
Okay, fine. That'll
be
game
home background. And hey, we got a lot going on for next season. We're already starting to talk about what it's going to look like next year when we're in our regular studio over at the Wall Center. We're changing it up. And hey, we did a solo shot yesterday. People liked that. We've got a lot of stuff up our sleeve, but let's not waste any more time, Harm. Let's get into our preview.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Of tonight's game against those Edmonton Oilers. All the Oily boys are in town right now. They're going to the game. I saw them on Oilers Nation every day today, Harmon, and there was a lot of confidence. There's a lot of confidence from Oilers fans right now heading into this series. And I think Canucks fans, while they're of course cheering for their team, there's this sense of realism among Canucks fans that it's like, okay, it's going to be hard to win the series. They deserve to be underdogs in this series, but if this goes right, if this goes right, and if this goes right, the Canucks could come away with this series. I don't really see a scenario where the Oilers just stomp all over them. Like, I think it's going to be close no matter what, and I think there's a chance that the Canucks win this series. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, like I said, I look at the Edmonton Oilers as favorites, but I'm not as bearish on the Canucks as, let's say, Dom's model was, which gave the Canucks, what, like 26% odds of winning the series, or even the betting lines, which were around 30%. I thought those were a little bit low. And again, to me, so much of it comes down to, I think the Canucks can hang at even strength, but the special teams worry me a little bit, especially with how much the Canucks power play struggled in round one, how much it struggled since the All-Star break, really. And when you look at part of the reason the Canucks had success against the Oilers early, it was because their power play was firing at all cylinders too, right? So that's, as we discuss some of the ifs that need to go right, I'm really looking at the power play needs to get going so that it's at least close on special teams. Because if it's not close that way, in the sense that Vancouver's power play is able to respond here and there, then there's such a fine margin for victory, and you're going to need to get help from the officials and hopefully not end up in the box too many times.
Okay, Steve Kuzari and Kyle Raymond get the game one tonight, and Nikita Zadorov spoke. This was in today's Scenes from Morning Skate, courtesy of our friend Jeff Patterson, who's going to join us on today's show as well, I should mention. He wrote Scenes from Morning Skate, and this is what Nikita Zadorov had to say. He's done his homework, and he knows who's in charge tonight. That's what J-Pat wrote. And this is what Zadorov said. We've got two experienced referees in Steve and Kyle, so we expect them to let us play hard, but inside the rules so that it's a fair and hard game. Some love for the officials from Nikita Zadorov. We'll see how the game goes tonight, but not every day. I thought it was worth mentioning. It's not every day you hear the refs come, or excuse me, the players come out and say, oh, I'm really excited about the refs tonight. They're going to be great.
Well, I think the Canucks have not necessarily been trying to butter the refs up, but subtly lobbying for a style that's more favorable for them. Like, Talk It Twice now has mentioned, hopefully they let us play, right? And at first he was asked about it right when they eliminated Nashville in Game 6. Drancer sort of asked about the series as a whole, and Talk It mentioned the importance of not just discipline from Vancouver's end, but hey, the refs, hopefully they let us play. And again, at practice when I was at UBC, that was sort of brought up as a theme again. And that's something that the Canucks, again, are going to sort of need a little bit, because, again, I think back to the time Winnipeg and Edmonton played. And the standard of play in terms of what they let go, what they called, really favored Winnipeg. They were able to slow McDavid down in the neutral zone. They were able to clutch and grab a little bit. It frustrated the heck out of McDavid. Now, I don't think the Canucks are going to be in a position where the refs are going to let them play quite to the extent that that they let Winnipeg hound McDavid, because that became quite a storyline after the series. And since then, McDavid's drawn a lot of penalties. Because for a while there, like, that was such a huge talking point, was why does McDavid draw no penalties, right? Like, you could mug him and sort of seemingly get away with it. So that standard is going to be really important. And like I said, that's kind of out of both Vancouver and Edmonton's control. And yet it's going to have a significant impact on the series.
Yeah, it is. We're going to get some keys to victory. But before we do, the updates from the rink this morning. Archer Shelov starts in goal. No surprise there. He's part of the keys, so we'll get to him in a second. But Rick Tocchet had this to say about Elias Pettersson, who missed practice yesterday. Tocchet talking about the idea of Pettersson playing through something, being a little bit injured, a little bit banged up. This is what Tocchet, unprompted, or not unprompted, but he brought it up himself, had to say about Pettersson.
No, I think he's fine. I think he's fine. You know, I know some people are speculating we're hiding an injury. He had illness. We don't lie here. So for you guys that want to make it some, he's got a broken wrist or a broken back. He doesn't. He's just a little sick. So that's it.
How much more do you need from him offensively?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously this is a big series. You know, there's eight teams left. You know, he's a big factor for us. You know, hopefully, you know, especially at home, we'll get him in some good situations on the ice. So hopefully he can take advantage of it.
Okay, a couple things here, Harm. So What he was referring to was that yesterday Paris Moselle was illness. So obviously there's a lot of speculation among the fan base of, oh, this is because of this, this is because of this. And I totally believe Tockett that he is, you know, he was probably just sick and that's why he missed practice yesterday. I totally believe Tockett on that. But the idea that Pedersen's completely healthy, yep, nope, not playing through anything, and no, he doesn't have a broken wrist, doesn't have a broken back, but the idea that, yep, he's 100% good, if that's the case, I got a problem with Rick Tockett because he should be calling out Elias Pedersen way more than he actually is. And we've talked about this before, this idea that, okay, Tockett's so reserved in his criticism of Pedersen, and that's, you assume that's because he's probably playing through something that we don't know about that Tockett clearly does know about. So this idea, and again, I said this back when Pedersen earlier in the year was like, no, I'm not hurt, I'm fine, I'm good to go. It's like, okay, well then we're gonna critique you and analyze your game as if you're completely healthy like you were last year when you put up 100 plus points, and we're gonna critique you on that same level. That's the issue I take with this. It's like, yeah, you can't have it both ways, okay? So I get you're not gonna come out and say, yeah, he's playing through something, yeah, there's this going on, this is going on. But come on, if you're coming out that hard, I need to see Rick Tockett drop a Jim Montgomery and be like, yep, Petey's got to pick it up. Because what happened? Jim Montgomery calls out David Pastrnak. David Pastrnak comes out, fulfills the prophecy, ends the Leafs' hopes in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, neither the coach or the player is ever going to admit at this type of year that, oh, one of our star players is playing through something. Like, way to put a target on one of your best players back, right? Especially when you got guys like Evander Kane, Corey Perry, Darnell Nurse running around. That's the last thing you want to feed those guys. Second, in relation to this idea that Tockett hasn't come out hard in his criticism of Pedersen yet, I don't think it's just because of the possibility of, oh, he might be playing through something. Part of it is also a coach has to understand what type of personality he has with each player. And each player is going to respond to criticism in different ways, right? So somebody like a JT Miller, for example, based off knowing him since he's been in Vancouver, I look at Miller as a player that if he was ever struggling and Tockett felt the need to sort of call him out, that Miller would take it in stride and that it could help him. But Pedersen, I'm not sure if he's the type of player that that gets going with a kick in the rear, right? I just don't think that it, with Pedersen, the type of personality it is, that it would help him if the coach called him out publicly like that anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. And it, look, as a coach, you said you got to know what makes each player tick and you got to treat different players differently. So I don't know. I just want to see Pedersen come alive in this series. We'll see. We'll see if it happens. He's got his first chance to do it tonight. Harm, let's get to our keys to victory. And then let's get to keys to victory in the anyone else segment. You want to do that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Cause Jeff's standing by. I hate making Jeff wait, but before we get to Jeff, we do have to get to our Light the Lamp contest brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Brewing. Here we go. Vancouver is playing Edmonton tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay, let's not make them wait any longer. Well, a little bit longer, the length of an ad read, because Jeff Patterson is brought to you. Wait, we didn't even do our pick. Who's your pick for Four Winds?
I'll say JT. He's JT? Owned the Oilers this year.
I'm going to say Elias Lindholm. A lot of chirping from Oilers fans at Elias Lindholm right now.
Really?
I'm going with Elias Lindholm. Oh, yeah. Dude, and Zadorov. There's a lot. I've been behind enemy lines.
Of course,
now,
because
right?
of the Battle of Alberta.
Yeah, like, oh, the Canucks' two big X factors are these guys that the Oilers already owned. Oh! And it's just, come on. Like, come on now. Different players now. Different players the way they've played in the first series against Nashville. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes tonight. We'll see how it goes tonight, but I'm going with Elias Lindholm. Shut those Oilers fans up. Okay, Jeff Patterson's brought to you by our friends over at Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home Wendy's rewards is eat. Just download the Wendy's app, place your favorite order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, we mean free food, obviously. And hey, while you're racking up rewards points and eating your way through the menu, you'll also find plenty of deals along the way to keep morale high. So what are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today and start earning on every order. Okay, let's bring them in. Jeff Patterson, the host of Rinkwide Vancouver. Trevor Linden joining you guys recently, Jeff. What did you make of his comments about Elias Pettersson?
I know you want to talk about hockey and this playoff series and stuff, but the fact that I'm brought to you by Wendy's, like, this is my mic drop moment right here and now. You know how many spicy chicken combos I have consumed over my many years in this business? So a huge shout out to Wendy's for sponsoring Canucks Convo and this segment in particular. Like, I already thought this was an incredible day with playoff hockey. The sun is shining. We're approaching the middle of May. Two Canadian teams, and now the sponsor is Wendy's for the segment. My goodness, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Trevor Linden. Trevor Linden called out EP40. Didn't back off. I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, this is a guy, obviously, that was at the helm when the Canucks drafted Pettersson and brought him into the organization. And basically just said, he's got to get into the fight here. And he said it a couple of times. And I think most people that have watched Petey here through six games of the playoffs would agree. But of course, it goes back further than just six games, one goal in 19. And it's funny because I was thinking about the season opener when they demolished the Oilers 8-1. Connor Garland opened the scoring that night. Not that I'm trying to get in on your contest because it's all about Wendy's in this segment. Although four wins is incredible too, let me tell you. But it was Petey. Remember the alley-oop to Connor Garland? Like, it was just this incredible pass. Everything that makes Elias Pettersson the special player that he is when he's on his game, the vision, the timing, just drops the dime right onto the stick of Connor Garland in tight, and Garland was able to score and open the scoring, and the floodgates were open there. So wouldn't it be incredible if it was like a full-circle moment here and we saw something like that from Elias Pettersson early in this series to indicate that he is in it and on it, and he made a nice play, jumping Jeremy Lauzon, the read to get the puck behind the net to Brock Besser on the series winner the other night in Nashville. And somebody asked him about, you know, can you build off that one play? And he said, I hope that's the last question I get about round one. I'm all about round two this morning. So he wasn't thrilled about questions of his performance and his struggles and all that kind of stuff. He is trying to be forward thinking here, but whatever the case, he knows it. The world knows it. He has to be a whole lot more prominent in this round than he was against the Preds.
Besides Pettersson, what Canuck are you looking at to step up compared to their round one performance for the Canucks to have a chance of really winning the series?
I think Dakota Joshua is the guy, and I wrote about him at Canucks Army. There's a piece there. He yesterday said, like, after that first game, I know that myself and our line weren't good enough, quite frankly. And now they got the matchup, a lot of the matchup, certainly in Nashville, saw O'Reilly and Forsberg, and that factors into it, obviously. You know, at 5-on-5, they held their own. They three goals for and three against, but the offense came early in that series where Joshua had a great third period in game one, but he didn't have a shot on goal over the final four games of that series against the Preds. Now, there were a lot of guys that didn't have enough shots on goal in that series, but Dakota Joshua has the size. I'm expecting that the Canucks will try to go Miller against McDavid early and Lindholm against Dreisaitl, and then you've got the added size and physical element of Dakota Joshua, who, you know, the Canucks don't have a lot of guys that can match up physically against Leon Dreisaitl, and I'm not saying that Joshua is a perfect match for Dreisaitl, but I do think he can lean on him and be physical against him. He led the Canucks in hits in the first round. You need that from Joshua, although, as I sit here, the hits that I remember resulted in penalties. So it comes back to what you were talking about, that fine line. And I love the fact that Nikita Zadorov first name checked the referee. The fact that he knew the referees, I thought, was really interesting, because I think over 82 games in the regular season, if you canvass the locker room in the morning skate, not many guys would know and not many would care. But the fact that Nikita Zadorov, A, knew who the refs were, and then in casual conversation just drops first names of Steve and Kyle. I love that. Like, he has clearly done his homework, or somebody has briefed him on that. But just to come back to the question, Harm, I think Dakota Joshua, I mean, I think it's fair to have expectations that he can and should be better than he was over the balance of those six games. Had an incredible season. The fact that he came back and picked up where he left off after the hand injury and scored regularly, they're going to need everybody to sort of ramp it up. But after Elias Pettersson, I think Dakota Joshua is the guy. You know, I want to see him be a factor. I want to see him in the face of the Edmonton Oilers. I want the Oilers to know and sort of have their heads on a swivel when he's on the ice, because he can be that kind of player.
Jeff, I kind of just want to bring you in. Like, instead of us just asking you questions, I'm going to impromptu make this a little roundtable, because our thing we want to talk about is like the keys to victory for the Canucks winning this series. So I don't just want to ask you to list one, because I think you can come up with one easily, but I'm looking at it and saying there's probably about four or five things, maybe like two or three, that need to go right for the Canucks to win this series. But like, for them to win, three of these five things need to happen. Help me come up with them, because I'll tell you, one is the goaltending battle. I look at that and say that's something that is just so unknown, right? Like, we don't know how Artur Shelov is going to perform. And to be quite frank with you guys, like, I think that's why the Canucks are such underdogs in this series, is that, oh, well, their starting goaltender's out and their third string goalie is in net. I think the sportsbooks are going to look at stuff like that and say, yeah, well, of course the Oilers, who score a lot, who do well on the power play, of course they're going to be the favorite in this series. But that's mine, is the goaltending battle is the main one I focus on here.
No, and I think absolutely, because none of us know whether there is a incredible, improbable playoff run in Artur Shelov's, or if the clock is about to strike midnight and he's going to look like a guy who doesn't have much of an NHL resume. But I don't feel that, and I know the Canucks don't feel that. This guy looked every bit the part of a National Hockey League goaltender thrown into an ultimate pressure cooker, two wins in Nashville, including an overtime victory and then a shutout as his command performance. So, yeah, and look, Stuart Skinner, there's always going to be questions about him until he ultimately delivers. And I'll give him credit. He's had a nice season. He has certainly elevated his game. I don't think that it's as much of a wild card or an X factor. I think the Oilers believe that this guy can be a difference maker. And, you know, he gave up 9 goals early in the first 2 games against LA, and then just 4 over the final 3, including a shutout as well. So I think both of these goaltenders, it's going to be interesting. The pressure obviously mounts the further you get in the playoffs here, but there is more pressure on the Oilers. And if they don't get goaltending and ghosts from years gone by come back to haunt them, that's going to become a storyline early in the series. Discipline, it's so easy to say that, but the Canucks do have to stay out of the box. They just can't feed that Oiler machine. So can they play hard but stay on the right side of the line? Can they stay in the good graces of Steve and Kyle tonight? We'll find out when the puck drops just after 7 o'clock. And I think the Canucks can pick away at a lot of those Oiler defensemen. Like, you know, Matias Ekholm's had an incredible season. I'm not sure that you're going to find much of a soft spot on his side, but Evan Bouchard, the Bouch bomb, and everything that he does offensively, I still think there are ways to get to him defensively. That second pair of Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci, like, that to me feels like a path for the Vancouver Canucks there. If they can capitalize on those two guys and force them to defend, you know, Brett Kulak might be their third best defenseman, like true defending defenseman. And, you know, Desharnais is a big body, and, you know, so a lot of the same things that we're talking about with the Canucks defense can make it difficult to get to the front of the net, but he's not a perfect player either. So I do think for all the top end talent the Oilers have, and everybody in the world knows about their top end talent and their power play, again, there are no perfect teams in a cap world. Everybody's got some warts, including the Edmonton Oilers. And I do think that there are some areas that the Vancouver Canucks can and will attack.
JPET, the Canucks are obviously going to try to be as disciplined as possible, but inevitably their PK is going to be put to the test at various points in the series. PK was terrific in round one. What is your confidence level that Vancouver's improved PK can, you're not going to stop their power play, but at least contain them and sort of limit the damage through the series?
Yeah, look, the Oilers, if they get 20 power plays in this series, like, it would be a victory if the Canucks could hold them to 5 power play goals where they kept Nashville to just 2. And Nashville scored in its first power play of that last round. Ryan O'Reilly's goal here in Vancouver. After that, the Canucks killed off 21 of 22. Like, it really, the penalty kill was sort of my unsung hero of that opening round for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, it's Teddy Bluger and it's Elias Lindholm. They led the way minutes-wise among the forwards. Ian Cole, 6 minutes more than anybody else on the hockey club in shorthanded ice time in that first round. Among the league leaders, I think only Brandon Carlo in Boston killed more penalties than Cole in the opening round. So, you know, at 35, this is the reason they went out and they targeted Ian Cole and brought him in for his veteran savvy, his championship pedigree, and his penalty killing. And it is fascinating, guys, that you look at the ice time leaders for the Canucks in the opening round on the penalty kill. It's Lindholm, it's Bluger, it's Cole, it's Zadorov. It's guys that weren't here a year ago when the penalty kill was an absolute weakness. Like, these are new faces, and they were all brought in with a job to do. And, you know, Elias Lindholm, I thought, had a kind of quietly good first round. Again, we talked about his line and the matchup that they got. You want a little more offense, but the defensive assignments, the faceoffs, the penalty kill, like, that is where he pays off for this hockey club. So the challenge is huge here against McDavid and Draisaitl. And Tocchet has talked repeatedly about, you know, they can have their set plays, but where they're really dangerous is when things sort of, you know, become scrambly, and then the Oilers just attack the net, and, you know, everybody focuses on McDavid. Draisaitl just slides to that soft spot down low on the goal line and is incredible with his accuracy from a sharp angle. But if the Canucks try and cheat on that one, then Hyman's going to be backdoor and there'll be tap-ins. And if neither of those options are there, then, oh yeah, get it back to Bouchard, who just fires away with one of the hardest shots in the National Hockey League. So you can see why everybody's drawn to McDavid. I get it. And you can't take your eye off him, obviously. But the minute you commit and overcommit, you know, that's when there's trouble. So can they stick to their structure? Can they stay to their roles and their assignments on the penalty kill? And ultimately, can Artur Silovs make the saves that they're going to require from him? You know, it's easy to say. It's a lot harder to do when it's actually happening out there in real time.
So many different ways that the Oilers can attack you on that power play. And hey, so many different guys on the Canucks that you need to do something starting with tonight. Jeff, I'll close by just straight up asking you our poll question. How confident are you that the Canucks can win this series?
Yeah, I mean, my prediction is that the Oilers are going to prevail. They're built for this. They've gone through their playoff failures. This is their time. If they fall short here, like, you've seen all those questions in Toronto, I think those same sorts of questions are going to be asked about this Oilers group in the top end, and is it time to, you know, try a plan B somewhere along the line? So without a doubt, there is pressure on the Edmonton Oilers, and pressure does weird things to guys, even elite professional athletes. And that's why I think tonight is massive. Now, it is just one game, and could the Canucks drop the opener and still win the series? Yeah, I suppose they could. But, like, for all this talk about the regular season series doesn't mean anything, here's why I think it can, from a Canucks perspective. If the Canucks can win tonight, take the opener, then the Oilers are going to be forced to answer questions about, you guys told us the regular season didn't mean anything. Now it's five straight losses to these guys. Like, what is it about the Canucks? And if the Canucks can just plant the seed of doubt, and again, the Oilers will try to flush a loss if it happens and get back, but you can't take the first two games unless you get the first one. So if the Canucks can get the opener, then it puts a ton of pressure on the Edmonton Oilers to try to get the split here. And the flip side is, if the Oilers get the win in game one, then obviously a ton of pressure on the Canucks to get to Edmonton in a one-all tie, you know, rather than getting Edmonton down 2-0 and, you know, taking your chances there. So it's funny. The Canucks were a dominant team on home ice. You guys saw them every night through the regular season, 27 wins, and yet they only won once in the first round against Nashville. You know, they go 3-for-3 in Nashville and yet 1-2 on home ice. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me that they couldn't take more advantage out of home ice, and you get the last change. You know, you can dictate some matchups. You got to make home ice matter. And the other thing, and I pointed out this morning on Twitter, was the Canucks only scored 2 first period goals in this series. We've seen the energy, the atmosphere. People want to get in and be a part of it. And the Canucks showed that they can play the patient game and win sort of these low scoring games that grind scoreless. But the people give them something to cheer about. Like, in two of the games, Nikita Zadorov was the only guy that scored a goal for the Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Arena. So get the fans in and on it. Harness that energy. Two Canadian teams. We've seen all the battles in social media. Tonight it moves indoors to Rogers Arena. I think it's going to be fantastic. It had that big game feel this morning. There was a ton of media. Not as much media as a Toronto game, apparently, but there was a lot of media at the rink this morning. And you can just feel it. I mean, there was a buzz in the air. I mean, massive scrums around all the Canuck players, almost every chair occupied when Rick Tocchet took the podium. People are into this thing. And I think it's going to, the lead up to face off, and then ultimately when the puck drops, it's going to be a blast. So I hope the series goes long. You asked me my prediction. I do think the Oilers probably prevail, but hey, I'm having fun covering playoff hockey again. I want, my heart says Canucks, so that we just keep this train rolling here. into a third round and maybe beyond. But hey, may the best team win. Let's see what happens. It's going to be fun.
Jeff, it's been a while since a Vancouver media member bodied someone from the city of Toronto. So excellent work earlier today. And Grady, if you want to find that tweet and pull it up for the people that are inevitably going to ask, what happened? What happened? Feel free to do that. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. People can find you on Rinkwide. Who's your co-host tonight? Rinkwide.
Yeah, got Earth again, and we will break it all down. Really looking forward to the storylines that emerge out of game one and building up for game number two. So, yeah, we'll be in our usual place moments after the final buzzer. Join us for Rinkwide Vancouver.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There you go. You nailed it. There it is. Jeff Patterson, thanks so much for joining us. Much appreciated. Jeff Patterson. Find that tweet, Grady. That's my anyone else for the day. I want to bring that up. But before we do that, let's get to our poll question, which is brought to you by our friends over at Mr. Lube. Need a tire change or tire service? Mr. Lube provides no appointment tire service and sales. Drop by anytime for tire rotation, tire repair, and balancing. Servicing all makes and models, including electric vehicles, with 16 locations in the Lower Mainland. Find one near you at MrLube.com. Okay, our poll question today, which as I said, is brought to you by Mr. Lube. I asked it to JPAT. I'll ask it to you, the listeners, the viewers, those on socials, those seeing this wherever you are seeing this poll question. How confident are you that the Vancouver Canucks can win this series against those Edmonton Oilers? Harm, the options were very confident, confident, worried, and not confident at all. Right now, no surprise that the two most popular answers are confident, and then behind it, worried. And then there's 10.7% of fans saying very confident, 13.5% saying not confident at all. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I think I'm somewhere in the middle as well. I think it's in between confident and worried. I don't know about confident, but right between confident and worried.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say is, did you design these answers? Because there's got to be a middle ground between confident and worried. There's like a massive hole in the middle that I think a lot of fans and media would find themselves in, because I'm definitely in the middle ground of that. I think there's a medium level of confidence. It's not true, unequivocal, yeah, I'm confident, but I'm not worried either, right? It's somewhere in the middle for me.
More like cautiously optimistic, you might say?
Sure, or like even in neutral, right? Like,
that's such a boring word, too. Not neutral. Beige.
Medium.
Yeah,
medium.
Option, I'm beige. I pick beige. That's my option.
Well, that's the truth. Like, I've been very clear with where I stand on this, is sort of how JPAT mentioned it. I think the Oilers are more likely to win this series, but the Canucks can definitely make things interesting. And I love the point that he brought up about, if you take game one, now all of a sudden the Oilers are going to have to deal with the doubt and a little bit of that pressure of, hey, you've lost to this team five times in a row. And this is where you got to, as the Canucks, harness the power of being underdogs. there's no pressure on you. You're basically playing with house money at this point. Nobody expected that you'd get to this point. The Canucks have nothing to lose, right? So they can play carefree. They can play loose. And that doesn't mean that on the ice they're playing like they don't care. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. But you don't have a mountain of expectations on you. Like, how does Stuart Skinner feel if he gets lit up game one? And remembering, of course, that he got lit up in the second round last year as well. So this is where, yeah, the Oilers are the favorites. But when you have that level, those level of expectations, when you're in cup or bust mode, you win one game as the underdog, and all of a sudden you're applying a lot of pressure on your opponent. And like J-Pat said, that can do funny things to a team.
I love that point from J-Pat about it'll be five straight losses to the Canucks if they lose tonight. And he's like, yeah, media's going to go in there. I'm not going to the game tonight. I'm going to Friday's game. Wyatt's going there tonight, but I might have to tell Wyatt, yeah, just go in the Oilers locker room, start asking them about losing five straight games. just in case the Edmonton media that's traveled here aren't going to ask it, I'll send Wyatt in. But yeah, go ask Connor McDavid what it's like to lose five straight times to the Canucks. Maybe word it a little bit better than
that. Yeah, or I'm sure Leon will be thrilled to answer a question about that.
You know, speaking of Leon, like, he had the quote, I think, that shows the Oilers are really, like, they respect the Canucks more than I think anybody else does, or at least they're putting up that facade so that they don't have the bulletin board material for the Canucks. Like, they've been very respectful of the Canucks. Like, these are two teams in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs at the end of the day. Doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. Really doesn't matter what happened in the first round. Like, there are eight teams left. There are eight teams left, and these are two of them. There's only going to be four after this series. Four teams are going to be left. A good team is going to win this series. There's my hot take of the day, Harm. The better team is going to win this series. That's the thing. I keep hearing this from everyone. Everyone's like, oh, whichever team plays better hockey is going to win the series. All right. Yeah, thanks. Transcendent analysis. Really appreciate that one. Seriously. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say what you mentioned, though, in the sense that, oh, Drysdale's giving the Canucks respect. Obviously, he's going to do that publicly, right? He's not going to want to give Vancouver any bulletin board material. I am curious. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in their locker room and get a feel for, okay, actually, how much do you actually respect them as an opponent? Because I'll say this, I truly think that the Oilers came into Rogers Arena, game one of the regular season, and thought they were going to smack the Canucks, especially with how the Canucks had a history of bad starts. Oilers were in this copper bust mode. I truly think that they came in and just thought that thought that with their skill alone that they were going to skate circles around the Canucks because they didn't have any work ethic. They were soft on battles. They thought it was going to be easy, and it was a letdown. Now, obviously, given the playoffs, given the stakes, they're going to take this a lot more seriously, but they've got to be careful. Even if they end up, let's say, taking a lead in game one, for example, they can't take their foot off the gas defensively. That is a potential issue, especially with somebody like a Drysdale, where he can have poor defensive habits at times. They've cleaned up their rush defense, for example, but if they all of a sudden build a lead, they've got to be careful not to get arrogant, not to get cocky, because that's when their defensive habits could slip, and that's where you're potentially giving the Canucks a chance to get back into the game.
Okay, let's get to mapping them out, the keys to victory. We're going to do that in anyone else. Before that, got to tell you about a new sponsor of ours, and that is helpstartshere.gov.bc.ca. Everybody knows about the overdose crisis, also known as the toxic drug crisis. But what's less known is that the stigma around addiction makes it harder to ask for help, and that's got to stop. Addiction is a complex health condition, not a choice. And that means people shouldn't have to face judgment at work or from their loved ones or fear the law. But shame and stigma can cause a person to hide their drug use or use alone, and we don't want that. People shouldn't be afraid to reach out. There are supports available, and it can help to know where to start. The government of BC is partnering with organizations like the Nation Network to help extend this message throughout our province. If you or someone you care about is struggling, you can find support and services near you at helpstartshere.gov.bc.ca. Okay, and with that, let's get to anyone else, which is brought to you by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Caesar back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. Record 33 giveaways for the Seas this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Seas are back at the Nat this week. Yesterday, Marco Estrada threw out the first pitch. He was there for a superstar appearance. I saw some people on Twitter getting their photo with Marco Estrada, asking him how to throw a changeup. There's a nooner at the Nat on the 10th, which is coming up, and a Family Fun Sunday on the 12th, where kids 12 and under can run the bases. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. Okay, let's get to... Where did we want to start? Let's start with the keys to victory. And people, get your anyone else's in the chat. Because J-Pat went over a couple, and I want to just kind of pencil them out. I've got 5 written down, Harm. And we'll go through each, but I'll tell you what I've got so far. I've got special teams, secondary scoring, winning the goaltending battle, discipline, and not letting the Oilers' defense break the puck out. Where do you want to start? I think we start on that last one because you touched on it yesterday, and I think I want to hear you explain it again because we got a lot of new listeners today. Explain again how this idea of a matchup with JT Miller against Connor McDavid isn't just JT Miller shadowing Connor McDavid. It's about a lot more than that. It's about not letting the Oilers' defense get the puck to Connor McDavid.
Absolutely. It's about, can you get that aggressive forecheck to be connected, get your defensemen to pinch up the walls, win battles when the Oilers are going back for defensive zone retrievals so that McDavid doesn't have a chance to wind up with the puck in the first place, right? That's what the Canucks did really well the first couple times, or the first 3 times that they played Edmonton, is they didn't give... Bouchard, for example, is a player that really struggled to move the puck early in the year. He was given out away. They gave even Ekholm some troubles, and I know that he was recovering from, I believe, a preseason hip flexor injury, so maybe he wasn't 100%. But that was a huge reason why they were able to contain McDavid, is they exploited Edmonton's defensemen with their ability to apply pressure on the forecheck. And here's the thing. Once you recover possession, then you could basically play keep away in the offensive zone, right? The Canucks are... the way they control the puck in the attacking zone, they're not a team that is trying a lot of risky east-west plays. And so a lot of it is pretty simple low-to-high action, but that's also, if McDavid or Draisaitl is on the ice for that shift and they're defending, that's also a perfect defense. It's not just manufacturing offense. It's you're forcing them to defend in their own end. So that's going to be absolutely essential.
And Nar, I like Nar pointing this out in the chat. Good news, boys. I heard Penticton native Steve Kuzari is reffing the series. We heard that from Nikita Zadorov earlier in the show. You got to rewind, Nar. Zadorov was throwing out the first names this morning. Awesome. Love to see it. Okay. And good stuff, Harm. You're absolutely right. When you said it yesterday, it really, really helped kind of, explain why that matchup is going to be one the Canucks go to. And it's a lot less about just, okay, this forward against this forward, making sure that the puck can't get to that forward is more what it's about. Okay, let's go to winning the goaltending battle. And I'll talk about this one because this is the one that I said yesterday, and I say it again. I think the Canucks have the slight advantage here. We all know what Stuart Skinner is and what he can do. He's never really taken over a playoff series in his career to this point. I like Stuart Skinner as a goalie. I think he's very good. But Archer Shelov's was so good in that Nashville series toward the end. We've seen him go on runs, obviously with Latvia. That's the one that everybody's going to talk about. We've seen him go on runs like this in the past, but I don't just want to talk about Latvia. I also want to talk about his time in Abbotsford. He was one of the streakiest goaltenders in the AHL this season. His raw numbers in Abbotsford this season aren't great. I think he put like a 907 save percentage. Not terrible, but not, spectacular. This is the guy that's going to take over a playoff series. He was really good for stretches. He was named the player of the month at points in the AHL season. Goaltender of the month in the AHL season. He's played 2 fewer games than Jack Campbell, as Grady shows us, than Stuart Skinner. On the screen here, we see it. A 938 save percentage through 3 games for Shelov's, a 910 for Stuart Skinner, through five games for the Oilers, I don't know why I keep wanting to call him Jack Campbell. I mean, maybe it's a little slip. Like, I want Jack Campbell to be in net, but better numbers for Shelovs and also one of the streakier goaltenders that I've covered. On the other hand, do you worry at all that this streak might end for Shelovs? Of course you're going to worry about it. Of course you're going to worry about that. But I would say I'm more confident that Shelovs is just going to continue and pick up where he left off against Nashville when they kick off against the Oilers tonight. Do you have anything on the goaltending that you wanted to get to?
Nothing to really add. It's goaltending so unpredictable, right? So we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it unfolds tonight.
A lot of mystery. There's a lot of mystery with the goaltending matchup, and I think that's an advantage for the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, the last three, secondary scoring is the one that I think really stands out. Frank Cervelli was on Oilers Nation every day today, and I think he correctly prescribed the Canucks as a 1.5 line team. Fair?
Well, against Nashville. Of now, yes. Against Nashville, against Nashville.
Yeah, that's
what, when they're rolling, they're much deeper than that. They have three lines that can roll. But that's a key, right? Is what you did in the regular season doesn't really matter. It's can you execute now? So, of course, that's going to be a major talking point. I think outside of Pedersen, I like that J-Pat brought up Joshua because him and Garland need to be at their best, particularly if they're going to get that Drysdale matchup. So, absolutely, you're looking at secondary offense to step up. I've got a couple other keys as well. Let's sort of move on from secondary offense, just because I think we've spoken a lot about it.
Yeah, what's your other keys? Let's go.
So, one thing that I've been thinking about is, like, just from a coaching perspective, I think Rick Tocchet's going to really need to be on point with his adjustments this series. First of all, with the matchups, right? If there ends up being a situation where, let's say, you start with Lindholm against Drysdale line and you're, for whatever reason, getting crushed, you're going to need to find another solution on the fly. Or if the Pedersen line is too quiet offensively, you're going to have to weigh up. You're going to have tough decisions, right? Because there may be a scenario where you're thinking, well, we want to give Pedersen better line mates, and maybe you want to give him, let's say, Joshua and Garland, but you're going to have to look at, okay, well, how is the Lindholm line doing defensively, and can we afford to make that switch, right? So line combos, matchups, and especially when the series shifts to Edmonton, it's going to be really fascinating to see how often can you truly get JT Miller out against Connor McDavid? And if not, because from an Oilers perspective, I don't want McDavid out there against Miller. I would be looking to get away from that matchup. And so if you have other sort of Vancouver second and third lines have to contain McDavid, what can you do as Rick Tocchet to make sure that you're able to contain him as the series shifts to Edmonton? So I really think the coaching staff is going to have to be quick to adjust to matchups, line combos, and is going to have to be really on point. You can't wait too long to make changes and decisions on the fly.
Yeah, chess match. This is going to be a chess match between Nabla and Tocchet for sure. And Nabla has been a good tactics coach as well. He's proven to be that. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this all plays out. The last two I had, Harm, were special teams and discipline. You know, you can't take penalties. The big reason for that is that the Oilers had the best special teams of anyone through the first round. Their penalty kill was great. Their power play was great. You brought it up yesterday. I'll say it again. The even strength goals between the Kings and Oilers in round one were 12-12. So do with that what you will, but if the Canucks are going to win this series, it's going to be crucial that they stay out of the box, and even more crucial that if they end up in the box, that they don't let the Oilers score on the power play.
Yeah, and with the PK, I think the biggest key is you can't let them get set up in the first place. Once Edmonton gets set up, you're dead. I'm sorry, you could put out any of your four best penalty killers in the world on the ice, and it would still be such a challenge once they're set up, because they've got so many threats from that perspective. It's not just McDavid, it's you got Drysdale backdoor who can snipe from impossible angles. And if you cheat to one of those guys, then Hyman net front is going to clean up the garbage. And sometimes Bouchard ends up with extra space because the penalty killers are so occupied with the forwards that he can let it absolutely fly with a rocket from the point that seems to somehow always get through traffic. So from a Canucks perspective, that means A, faceoffs are massive, right? Like getting that initial clear is so huge, because once if you lose that initial draw, they're immediately set up. They got two full minutes to operate. I really think you're dead in the water. But if you get that initial clear, what I think this Canucks PK does best is defend the blue line, is make it difficult for power plays to get set up in the first place. Now, of course, a power play that has McDavid is going to have an easier time breaking through and getting zone entries. But still, I think this Canucks PK has shown that the way with how quickly they spray out to the flanks, with how many battles they win along the walls, with how many pucks sort of get rimmed around and they're able to fish those out, use the long reach of players like Zadorov, Myers, Soucy, Cole, and again, get those clears. I really think the key in slowing and sort of containing Edmonton's power play is going to be making sure that they can't get set up in the first place.
Okay, any other keys to victory from you that you wanted to get to?
I'll just say, like, you need a beast mode version of Miller and Hughes, right? Not a good version of them. You need the elite, best case scenario version of Miller and Hughes in the series. I think JT Miller was very good in round one. I think he's going to need to somehow find another gear just because of who he's going to have to go up against. And to his credit in the regular season, that's exactly what we saw from him. Right, you're going to need that version of Miller that we saw in those three games in October early in the year. That version of Miller needs to translate to the playoffs. It's a ton to ask for, but look, I think he's the type of player that relishes this matchup. He loves going up against the best other team's best players, loves having that responsibility on the shoulders. He's a gamer. I'm really excited to see how he fares. And Quinn Hughes, too, you need him at his Norris Trophy level. Edmonton's going to run him, right? They've got guys like Kane and Perry that are going to try to take the body every chance that they get. Even some guys like Hyman and Drysdale at times can be physical too. So for Quinn Hughes, it's going to be that escapability. Can he be a one-man breakout machine again? What type of offense can he create? Those two need to be locked in and at their superstar form.
All right. Going to be an interesting series. Let's get to the chat here, Harm. There was one from Gnar that I wanted to start with. Where was it? Okay, here it is. This is from Gnar. He says, Canucks had to play super tight to get past Nashville. Perfect primer for the oil. I think the offense is going to have a way easier time in this series. There was another one from him that I wanted to read. Where'd it go? It's off that point as well. Where'd it go? See, Gnar just comments so much, it's hard to keep up with him. He had something that was about, it was about how the Oilers had an easier time against LA, and the Canucks kind of had to grind for their victory. So, maybe it wasn't Gnar. Someone said this, and the argument was that, okay, well, the Canucks are going to be more ready to go for this series because they've had 5 days off, the Oilers have had seven, the Oilers had an easier time in round one than the Canucks did. I don't know if I fully agree with that. Like, I know they won quicker and they ended the series faster and they did it in pretty convincing fashion. I don't think that round one win was easy for the Oilers by any means. They were blocking a ton of shots. They did a lot of good things. I wouldn't categorize it as kind of like an easy win that doesn't have them ready to play for the playoffs.
I both agree and disagree. I agree that I don't think that they're going to be like, I think they're going to be ready to play, right? I agree with you there, but where I disagree is, like, I do think the first round against LA was easy. Like, to be totally honest, like, from the first period, because we were watching it with Frank and Drance at Greta, from the first period, the Oilers just sort of set the tone and dominated offensively in that game one. And yeah, I know some of the other games in the series were a little bit closer, but when you know you have that history too of beating LA twice in back-to-back years heading into this first round matchup, I thought it was a pretty easy victory for them, man.
Fair enough. And I mean, they also knew that Pierre-Luc Dubois was on the other side, right? So what
exactly,
that
yeah. Mentally?
This one from Sniper in the chat. Latvian Luongo. This is the first I've heard this nickname. Latvian Luongo is going to lead us to victory tonight. And we've got an Oilers fan in here as well. I was hoping that he would be a better late than never listener. the Hootins in the chat there. Let me know if you're better late than never, listener. And if you're not, you should be. But anyways, that's a show over at Oilers Nation. That's our friend Bag Milk. That's his show. Okay. What do I have? Oh, yeah. Okay, someone was... It's Jacoby. I finally noticed Quad Stash. I like it. It's growing on me.
Yeah, it is a little bit more noticeable. Yesterday, I pointed it out. I was like, oh my goodness. It's the first time I've actually noticed it.
Every day, it's only going to get more and more noticeable, unfortunately. But it's getting there. It's getting there. We'll see. We'll see how much longer the Canucks playoff run goes for. Hopefully, it's a while. Okay, do you have anything else that from the chat that you wanted to get to? Because I didn't see anything. Like, a lot of chirping between Canucks and a couple Oilers fans in the chat. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great series, folks. Chirp, playful chirps. A lot of fun. And hey, I'm good friends with the Oily Boys. I'll say it. I like the Oily Boys quite a bit. Those guys over at Oilers Nation, they're all good people, except for Tyler. But it's a good time. Like, it's a good time going back and forth with them. You can have a good time. You can have a good time chirping. Just keep it civil. Well, maybe not civil's the right word. Just know where the line is and don't cross it. And if you're going to cross it, don't go too far past line. Okay, this is a question from intern Sean here. Who's your guys' X factor for the series? It's a tough question because there's so many. Like, I don't know. Archer Shelovs. Can Archer Shelovs steal them a couple games? Can Archer Shelovs steal them a game tonight? I'll go with him.
Yeah, I mean, Pedersen's the obvious. I'll give you an X factor from Edmonton's perspective. Evander Kane. Kane's a player that throughout the regular season, there's been speculation of, has he been banged up? He's looked a step behind with his foot speed. He's ran hot and cold this year. Like, it's felt like, okay, is he starting to decline? But this is also a player that 2 years ago, he had like 13 goals in 15 playoff games, right? Like, he's the type of player that if he's on top of his game, he also plays such a physical style, can get to the inside against some of Vancouver's bigger defensemen. He's going to be active in the game within the game. He's somebody that's going to try and take a run at guys like Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson. He's an X factor, right? Do the Canucks get a quiet version of him, in which case it's going to be easier to shut that Draisaitl line down? Or is he going to be really on top of it, in which case that line's going to be a lot more difficult to contain?
Fair enough. I think Evander Kane's a great X factor. That's a good choice there. Okay. Do you have anything else you wanted to get to? Or should we just get to our Bet365 bet of the day and get out of here?
I don't think I have anything else.
We'll be back at the Wall Center tomorrow to break down. Yeah.
Did you bring up the JPAT tweet? I haven't seen it, so I actually want to see this too.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for not letting me forget that. Pull it up, Grady. So David Alter over at the Hockey News in Toronto JPAT tweeted out the media pool. Yeah, full screen this, Grady. JPAT tweeted out the media pool, and he said, when two Canadian teams collide in round two, and the photo is of a ton of assembled media, like a lot of assembled media there, especially for what we see in Vancouver usually, because, not everybody travels and all that sort of stuff. And David Alter in Toronto quote tweeted it and said, looks like any Leaf series TBH. To be honest, for the older folks there. Jeff replied, but this is a second round series. Emphasis on second. And oh my goodness, I almost started Jeff's hit today by asking him where he keeps his bodies, because holy cow, I look at the amount of replies. And it's a ratio as well. Like, it's a ratio for the ages. We haven't had a Vancouver media guy just absolutely ratioing a Toronto media guy in a while, and I'm glad that it was our own Jeff Patterson to take care of business there. It was so good. It's so good. No disrespect to David Alter or anything like that, but it's such a Toronto tweet. Like, oh, you think this is cool? Wait till you see Toronto.
That was so good, man. My first time seeing it, and that's and it's in such a JPAT way too, where it's not actually that disrespectful.
Exactly.
It's such a perfect JPAT diss.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently Oilers Nation is live right now, and I think NAR put this in. They just put a poll in their chat. They just put a poll in their chat, and NAR is saying this, not me, saying everybody go spam the spam their poll, and their poll is will the Oilers win big, win close, Van wins close, Van wins big. Everybody go vote Van wins big in the Oilers poll. Let's see if we can make Van wins big be the leading thing in the poll there. So yeah, that's over at the Oilers Nation YouTube channel. Go ahead. I'm unleashed. That'd be hilarious if somehow. Or
have you seen in the past these like Canucks fans that would in the past pretend to be Oilers fans and would call in and sort of like act like concerned Oilers fans and sort of criticize Ken Holland and be like, I'm really thinking our goaltending problems. Look at Jim Benning. He got them Thatcher Demko. I think we need a real GM like Jim Benning. It would just troll that way. Like,
oh, no, obviously, yes, I have seen that. And it's funny. It's so good. It's so funny. Yeah, I wonder if we'll see a return of that during the playoffs. One that cracked me up was the, I'm really not happy with the goaltending to start the season. Like, I wonder if we could get Casey DeSmith for Leon Draisaitl.
Right, I remember that.
That was one of my favorite, and the hosts were like, the hosts lost it. They were like, no! It was so good. Oh, it was so good. Anyways, yeah, go vote in the Oilers Nation poll. Do it for democracy, folks, as Brimpy in the chat there says. All right, we're going to sign off. Oh, no, our Bet365 bet of the day. We'll be back tomorrow to break down tonight's game. But before that, let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day, brought to you by, you guessed it, Bet365, a proud partner of Canucks Conversation. Open an account today to bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Be sure to use code VANBONUS when you sign up for an account. Okay, our pick today, you knew it was coming, folks. It's the Vancouver Canucks to win in any fashion tonight at plus 115 odds. Hammer it. Vancouver Canucks on the money line at plus 115. The underdogs against the Edmonton Oilers tonight in game one with the Canucks on home ice. Must be 90 plus to play. If you choose to play, please play responsibly. All right, we'll close it out there for my co-host, Harmon Dial, and our technical producer, Grady Sass. My name is Dave Grigelli. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back, and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.